PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. I think it was last week, but recently on the show, we were talking about Mel Robbins, the Let Them Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Breezy tried putting it into use last night, and it might have backfired on her. But how many of you, 585-252-9800, have tried implementing the Let Them Theory into the relationship? Maybe with a significant other, maybe at work?
Friends,
family, yeah. Whoever.
I mean, everyone, really. I mean, Let Them can be a stranger at the grocery store. Let them leave their car in the middle of the street. You know what I mean?
I see so many people in life who are so incredibly miserable because they're constantly trying to control things that are out of their control.
Yeah.
And sometimes in life, you just got to let it go. Just be, let people be who they are so they can reveal themselves to you. And then you can make a decision on whether or not, hey, if you want this person in your life. That's, I think, what this is about.
This is totally what that's about. And like, honestly, I think everybody should implement the Let Them Theory, or at least try, because I, along with you, along with all of our friends, struggle with a sense of control. I think we all teeter with a sense of control and wanting control and knowing what's going on and knowing what people are thinking. And, you know, it's just not realistic. You just can't.
If you're not familiar with it, I think obviously Mel Robbins describes it best. Take a listen to what the Let Them Theory is.
So I've been using this thing called the Let Them Theory. I just heard about this. So I've been using this thing called the Let Them Theory. I love this. I want you to try it. Here's how it works. The next time you feel left out, your friends all go out to brunch together and they don't invite you. Let them. Or maybe the person you're dating doesn't want a commitment. Let them. Or perhaps your spouse does not want to do the 5K with you. Let them. Your company is laying people off. Let them. You spend so much time and energy trying to control other people and getting emotionally worked up about things that are beyond your control. You can tap into peace and true control if you let them be themselves. And here's the other thing. If you let them, people will then reveal who they truly are. And when they reveal who they truly are to you, you now know what you can choose next that's right for you. So let them.
The triangle in the background.
I know, literally.
And, you know, this is a very hard concept for some people who are very type A. And learning to let go is really tough sometimes. I think we can agree with that.
So, like, I'm not a type A person with, like, my things, but, like, I do want to know what's going on and when it comes to people more so, right? So yesterday was a very hard day for me. Obviously, you heard earlier in the show, all my hubcap horrors and the struggles and, you know, the guy who plastered a massive sticker on my window and essentially ruined my entire window. And I was flipping out yesterday, flipping out, screaming, crying, carrying on, throwing my body on the floor of the parking lot. Like, it's too much, right?
That's quite the tantrum.
Yeah, I was losing my mind. And I just felt like all day, like so irritable and so on edge. And I'm winding down. And in the back of my mind, as I'm flipping out, I hear her voice in my head. And it's like, let them, you know what I mean? But like, me letting them is directly affecting me and my things.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm pissed. You know what I mean?
Let them put that sticker on your car windshield and
ruin
it.
The whole thing.
Let them.
No, truly, let them smash your car window in and have no authority involved whatsoever. Let them. No. But anyways, so I'm winding down last night. And I'm on my phone and I'm on Instagram and I see a story of what I thought was a friend of mine that when I lived on Park Ave, we spent a lot of time together because we lived so close.
Right.
But now that I'm in Fairport, don't see them as much. Totally fine. These things happen. Life changes, ebbs and flows. Just haven't seen them in a while. And nobody did anything. It's fine. So I click on their page. And unbeknownst to me, they have unfollowed me.
Uh-oh. Somebody unfollowed Breezy.
They unfollowed me.
Why? Just because lack of communication?
That is the question of the hour. So this was the cherry on top of my horrid day.
You're there, I said it from earlier this morning, is making a whole lot of sense.
A lot of sense. So I fly off... the handle. I fly off the handle.
You know, this is a perfect example of the let them
theory.
Of how
to not let them. Right, correct. You know what I mean? So I lose it. I absolutely lose my mind. And I text them. Okay?
Oh, no. Why did you do that?
I don't know. It was so impulsive.
Yeah. See, you let your emotions get the best of
you. I did. And I said, hi, is there an issue?
Oh, gee. In their response, was it total
crazy? They couldn't respond because I unsent the message 2 seconds later.
Oh, yeah. See, you caught yourself.
And I was like, you know what? Let them. Let them unfollow me. Let them hate me. Let them create whatever narrative it is about them, about me, that they need to. The problem with me is this. I don't care that much. I care a little bit. I don't care that much if random strangers off the street hate me. It's part of the job. It's part of the gig. We get it. You're get in line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it's people that like actually know me, that's what pisses me off more, because I'm like, you actually know me. Like, you actually know me as a person.
How close were you with this individual?
We got pretty close for like 3 or 4 months.
And how long?
Spent a lot of time together.
How much of a gap of you guys not talking or seeing each other?
Maybe a month.
That's it?
Yeah.
Just a month?
Yeah.
And no more communication. Just done, unfollowed you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I send the message and I quickly regret it because I have a friend talking me off the ledge.
Because the message came off passive aggressive.
It did.
Is there an issue?
It was aggressive. Sure. It was aggressive, and I will admit. And I unsend it, and I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's not a function we used to be able to have on
I know.
It.
Thank God. Thank you so much, Steve Jobs. But I don't know. It's just like, at this point, I implemented the let them theory. I did it a touch too late. I will say that. But it's one step closer to actually living a more fulfilling life.
See, it
so
does
I'm,
work.
So I'm quasi proud of myself. Right. But I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm not bothered by it, because I definitely am. I'm just trying to repeat let them over and over in my head. Because people are going to do what they want to do, regardless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and of course, obviously, you know, the opinions that people have about you is really none of your business at the end of the day.
That is true.
People are going to think what they want.
That is true. So, with that being said,
is this just a big pat on your back?
You got to let them.
Yeah, this is...
No, not at all. I mean, like, one more person who hates me, so nothing to pat myself on the back for, but...
Well, as many people that hate you, they love you just as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, what?
For every person that hates you, there's probably maybe one other person that loves you.
Best piece of advice I've ever gotten. 50% of the people are going to love you. 50% of the people are going to absolutely hate you. And neither one of them are right, because none of them actually know you. So there's that.
Well, I know you. And I'm still on both sides of the fence.
Sure.
98PXY's Moose and Breezy invite you to grab your popcorn. Get comfortable in your seat. Because Breezy's about to break down a classic she somehow missed over the last quarter century. It's Breezy's Big Movie Review.
Action! Yesterday on the show, Breezy and I acted out the film A Star Is Born, starring Bradley Cooper and, of course, the talented Lady Gaga.
This was a remake?
Yeah, this is the fourth time they've made this movie.
Interesting.
This movie was nominated for 8 Oscars, I believe. Bradley Cooper directed this one. But before Breezy gets to her review, take a listen to our incredible acting ability from yesterday of us acting out a scene from the actual film on Mooster Peace Theater.
You want a drinking buddy? Is that what you want? You want to be your dad? Is that it?
That's over the line. Don't even go there. You couldn't be my dad if you effing tried. My dad had more talent in his pinky finger than you do in your entire body. You're just freaking ugly, that's all.
What? How dare you? I can't take this anymore.
You're in a bathtub. Where are you going? She jumped out of a bathtub. All right.
Right.
Wonderful. Really nice job.
It.
In this new take on the tragic love story, Bradley Cooper plays musician Jackson Maine, who discovers and falls in love with the struggling artist Allie, played by Lady Gaga. And she's just about to give up on her dreams to make it as a big singer until Bradley Cooper's character coaxes her into the spotlight. But even as Allie's career takes off, the personal side of their relationship is breaking down. It's crumbling.
Period.
As Jack fights an ongoing battle with his own internal demons. Rotten Tomatoes scored this 90%. Pretty solid score. Breezy, did this movie hold up, yes or no?
Yeah, I think it did. I really do. I really think it was a brilliant film, if I'm being honest.
A brilliant film.
Yes.
And you're still going to give it a 2.7, huh?
No, not necessarily.
tell us why you loved it.
I think Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper both did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And I understand why they won as many awards as they did. I mean, Gaga became the first woman in history to win all these accolades, Academy Award, Grammy, Golden Globe in one singular year with this film. So it's crazy. And obviously, I knew the song pretty well because we played it here on PXY for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it held up just because there's so many people out there that have a dollar and a dream, you know, and little to none of the time they actually follow through with said dream. But there is that one in a million.
Well, so. Yeah, it just basically takes a lot of heart, and you got to go through a lot of struggle and a lot of pain and just constantly never give up. It's hard for people to do that. Did you have a favorite character in the film?
I did love Lady Gaga's character. I thought that, her name was Allie. I thought that Jack, played by Bradley Cooper, was pretty annoying, if I'm being honest.
Well, he was a drunk.
Yeah. So. And he was just like so jealous of her.
He was
so obvious how jealous he was of her.
There, you know, he so badly wanted to help her and pursue her career, but that's because he also had this crush on her, and that was his way in. And once he got there and how successful she was, then that's
when
the resentment kicked in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help when you're drunk 24/7. Who was your least favorite? Bradley Cooper, yeah?
Yeah, I would say so.
The star.
I would say so.
Did you have a favorite scene in the film?
I mean, I think we crushed ours. The suicide scene was a tough watch.
Yeah.
And... you know, him in rehab was also a tough watch. She's like, do you want to come home? He's like, why would you even say that?
I think the saddest part of the movie was when he knew he was getting ready to end his life, he still fed his dog.
The steak.
And to make sure that he still had a meal before he left the house. It was it's very touching and very sad.
Yeah, it was a tearjerker for sure. But listen, this was the film in 2018.
Yes, it was.
Like, I remember... I think my parents went and saw this film. It was a big deal.
I remember when I used to take this workout class in West Hollywood. And
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The gentleman who owned the class was a professional trainer for a lot of the movie stars. And he trained Bradley Cooper for American Sniper, a lot of the films that he was in. So Bradley Cooper was always in class with us. One day, I didn't realize it, but Lady Gaga was in there with us too. And at the end of the class, they went downstairs and she hopped on the back of his motorcycle. And that was like one of the first times she ever rode with him. And it was in the People magazine. It was everywhere.
Wow.
Because she started riding with him to get comfortable when they shot the film, A Star is Born.
Right.
Which was interesting. What was the best throwback moment of this film?
I mean, listen, the whole thing was set way back when, right? But I think just... I don't know. I think the outfits they wore, the drag bar that they went to was a little meh.
Sure.
But all in all, I really liked the film. I really did.
All right. Well, then let's get to your popcorn bucket score for the 2018 version of A Star is Born. Breezy, what are you rating it out of 5 popcorn buckets?
I'm giving A Star is Born out of 5 popcorn buckets a 4.6.
Wow, that's not too bad.
No,
a 4.6 is a high score, Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done 4.7, but it's your review.
I know.
I'm glad I finally brought something to the table that you can appreciate.
Thank God. Thank God. I was about ready to quit. 98 PXY.
How would you like to?
When is it considered just too much practice? It's Peaks by Mornings with Moose and Breezy. How many of you love that your kids play sports and are actually a part of something?
Right.
But you think the practice schedule is completely ridiculous because you feel like your weeknights or your weekends are completely shot.
They say practice makes perfect until little Johnny tears his ACL from practicing 6 nights a week.
Right.
So tough.
Well, we have Brooke on the line who's not happy. And she says she's sick and tired of her 9-year-old son. Coaching schedule. Practices 4 days a week, including practice on Saturday nights, where her son may not even get home until 9 p.m. Hi, good morning, Brooke.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to share something and get your thoughts. I'm just a really frustrated mom right now.
I know you are. We read the message. We saw it. And you know what? I think it's really relatable to a lot of people. I've heard my friends complain that they have to bring their kids to practices at 7 p.m. on a Saturday, which really, your schedule's shot after that. But go ahead. Get right into it.
All right. So I've really had it. Because I know a few parents who understand what's going on and not being able to have a life, really, because my 9-year-old son plays soccer. And it's a team in Rochester. It's 9 and under boys. Mm-hmm. And we think that our coach, you know, missed his shot to play soccer at a big level. His son is on our team. And he treats him like he's shady. Messy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. His son, yeah.
He thinks he's messy. He thinks he's the second coming, and his kid sucks.
Let me ask you that. Brooke, Lionel Messi. Yeah. Let me ask you, though, Brooke, who gets the most playing time on the team?
Oh, who do you think?
Yeah.
that's his kid. Don't want to say his name. But
Harris. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that happens, and you sort of have to just, you know, suck it up and ignore it. Can't make that accusation. He's going to deny it. But he just thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread.
Right.
And listen, the stakes aren't that high. It's soccer for kids 9 and under. So he schedules these practices Monday, Wednesday, every other Friday, Saturday nights at 7 p.m. So
we
parents don't get to go out to dinner. We don't get to get a babysitter. We don't get to do, you know, anything in life because this thing ends at 9:30 and then you're so exhausted you have to go to bed and the kids go to bed.
Right, has any of the parents come together and had this conversation collectively with the coach?
Well, you know, there's a few of us who kind of know each other. We live in the same hood. There's like maybe like 6 people who really have a big problem with it.
Yeah.
There's whisperings among the others. But now, see, the coach, he's separated from his wife or something. I don't think he even likes her.
You're like,
he doesn't care if he has to go home. He just wants to, you know, this is his only life. This
okay, got it.
Here's the greatest part. One of our parents, we kind of put him up to it. We said, can you call him? And, you know, he just has a nice way with words. So he calls him and he tells him, you know, this is how we're feeling and whatever. And the guy says, the coach, he goes, look, if you guys want to win, that's what I'm hired to do. Huh? So he thinks he's like, you know, a national team or something.
Yeah, sure. He takes it very seriously. Some coaches don't. You know, there's something to be said about him actually doing that. On the other hand, have you talked to your son about how badly he even wants to do this? Like, is he really into it?
They don't really, but you're trying to teach them to make a commitment to what they chose to do and you finish out the season. And then if he doesn't want to play anymore, I don't care. But it teaches them camaraderie and how to follow the rules and, you know, be a better person and show up and have a commitment to something. So no, he's not like crazy in love with it. He's not going to do this, you know, as he gets older, right. I'm sure. He kind of kicks his feet and is daydreaming a little on the field.
He's still picking dandelions. We don't know.
Yeah, he's not into it.
I mean, listen, like, that's all fine and well, everything that you've just mentioned, but I don't think the coach really is focused on any of that. He's focused on getting a World Cup. Truly.
Oh, you have no idea. Listen to this. So last year, this coach made the kids do a 9 a.m. film review on a Saturday morning at his house, where he just played videos.
What do you mean a film review?
He played videos of old games and made the kids watch their mistakes. He pointed out their mistakes. Give me a break.
They're nine years old.
Well, at that point, they were probably eight.
seven and a half to nine.
Your kid's
so
like,
that's what we're dealing with.
Your kid's like, will there be popcorn served?
I'm very interested to hear how many other parents are feeling the way our friend Brooke here is feeling. 585-252-9800.
Thanks so much for letting me call in. I'm so frustrated. It's not varsity or D1. You know, these kids are little babies. I just think this coach sucks. It's so frustrating. I hope some people call in because I told my husband I might pull him from the team, but I know I wouldn't be teaching him, you know, a good lesson.
No, and then you'd have to teach yourself about commitment.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the lesson here. This is a lot. 4 to 5 practices each week. Some of those practices being at 7:30 on a Saturday night. So yeah, your weekend is kind of shot. All right. We'll get to some messages coming in because it sounds like you might not be the only one, Brooke, that is feeling this way. But thank you for calling in.
Thank you for calling up.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Good luck with the championship.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. Kim texted in and was like, I wouldn't mind actually having a coach like this. Who cares? Most of these coaches don't have a clue as to what they're doing. One game over the summer, my son's coach in Brockport never even showed up to the game.
Kim's like, I'm trying to get my kid on a full ride scholarship to college so I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
I can be off the hook.
Whoever this woman is describing sounds like my father. It's probably him.
Sinister.
He's that type of coach. He takes it very seriously. And you know what? I know a lot of people are like, that's travel soccer for you. I don't think this is travel.
No.
Because most people who pay money for travel know the type of commitment that comes with it. You're out of town every weekend.
It's literally in the title. You're traveling.
Right. I mean, that's what it is. 3 out of my 4 children were in sports before COVID hit. Every night of the week was practice or games. Weekends were fully packed. And when COVID hit, the sports stopped. And it was amazing. Practices this late at night on a weekend only makes sense if these kids are older and it's more competitive. Corey says, I also dislike how big of a commitment it is. But there's no option to only go to some games or practices. Someone needs to be responsible for making sure the kid is in good attendance regarding the sport they sign up for, or the team suffers and the kid takes the blame. Well, it's called accountability.
Yeah.
You either want to play or you don't. If you commit to it, this is what's involved. You got to show up. Oh, yeah. Shannon makes a good point. The whole family doesn't need to be there. If these kids are 6 and 7, drop them off for an hour, go run some errands, come back and get them. Because we all know those parents that love to sit through the entire practice.
Hey, give me the ick. Go to TJ Maxx. Go to the spa. You don't need to be sitting there also filming so you guys can review later. You're just as toxic as the coach.
Oh,
there, I said it. I'm over it. Thank you so much.